Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning, February the 25th, 2026. 2:25:26, 15 minutes past the hour. Want to do some quick housekeeping here before we get the program started this morning. Want to thank Phyllis and Larry Shirk, who sent me a card that I got in the mail yesterday. So thank you, Phyllis and Larry. Always very nice people. And I appreciate them listening to the program and sending cards and just being all around great people. Phyllis, one of the best cooks I've ever known. And Phyllis, I'll be looking for my lemon pie to celebrate my birthday very soon. Phyllis makes the best lemon pie I've ever tasted in my life. I don't know what she does, but it's the best lemon pie I have ever tasted. And Jason Schauber, I think, has had the lemon pie, but he likes the peanut butter pie. So he can vouch for Phyllis's culinary abilities. Also want to thank the people at the Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast, which is coming up the 14th of March, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Tri Rivers. We have some tickets to give away, which we will do before, obviously, the 14th of March. So we will let you know about that as time goes along. Last night was the longest State of the Union in the history of State of the Unions, 1 hour and 48 minutes. We're going to talk about that in just a second. And the news here in Marion yesterday, the storm sewer utility rate, if you live in the city, is going from $7.20 a month to $13.20 a month. So we'll talk about that, but we do have about a 7 to 8 minute interview that we did not get in yesterday with City Councilman at Large Scott Crider. So I do want to play that interview before we get to phone calls or anything else. So here is Scott Crider, Marion City Councilman at Large, from Monday night.
Scott Spears here, WGH Talk Radio, with City Councilman at Large Democrat Scott Crider. Scott, how are you?
Hanging in there.
Now, tonight's meeting, the main topic was getting rid of the tax credit for the people who work out of the city, 100% tax credit. What did you make of the arguments that were made tonight?
I thought they were completely viable. I was really concerned, again, with having good figures from the reconciliations that we still don't have to present, you know, to all the citizens of Marion that end up paying their city income tax. But I just think that the sequencing of information that we have, and whether or not, honestly, it's only one component of the entire plan that's been presented by the state, or to the state, I should say. So, you know, we've got other things to consider. I just think that, again, we have to have good information to really maybe end up proposing this. But I think that the idea that you need to have, you know, pay for where you live is something that they've got to really look at the state legislature and correcting. And so,
if this vote were held tonight, would you vote yes or no for it to get rid of the out of city tax credit?
I'm one of those people that work outside of the city. I think there's one or two more council people that do. I'm in a situation that I have to just send money in, you know, the city, because my employer does not have that wherewithal, or it's not wherewithal. They just don't do it. And I've had two employers like that. And so I'd say at this point, I would hope that people would want to comply, but to vote for it, I can't even make that commitment now. I can't.
So if the vote were held tonight, you would vote no?
I would vote no right now. Yeah.
Okay. Is it a problem that several councilmen tonight said they would vote for this if it were held tonight? They do support this, but not one of them could tell you how much revenue that it would generate.
That's the whole point. That's the problem. It's just like, if they couldn't, you know, for anything that we propose for the state's plan, how much are we looking at? And exactly what Ms. Lubke said about that breakdown of what is what really we have to work with versus the $8.9 million that was suggested. And I was appreciative of Deputy Auditor Watts and him explaining that a little bit further. I really think that we need to have a general, special meetings and summary sheets so people can just look at something and understand it. Because it's just the snowballing effect that we've been going through the past 5 years or whatever. It's just really, it's been hard to really pinpoint anything directly.
Is it troubling to you that people could tell you how they would vote tonight and vote in the affirmative, vote yes to get rid of the tax credit, without telling you what revenue it would bring to the city?
That's bothersome. Yes.
Now, optics were a big conversation tonight. Former finance chair, former councilwoman Twyla Lang was appointed treasurer last Wednesday by the Republican Party to fill the vacancy of Vidya, who's now the auditor. And the night before, she had voted to send this tax credit on to council. Mr. Rollins this morning on the radio program said he had a problem with this, that the optics were terrible. To do it this way, even if she didn't know she was going to be appointed the next night. How do you think this looks to the taxpayers that the person who pushed this through on the Finance Committee 24 hours later becomes the treasurer and says she didn't know if that was going to happen or not?
Well, I thought that was, again, it's just an awkward situation for that to have happened. I'm really hopeful, though. I mean, I do appreciate her diligence and really digging in there, Ms. Lyons. And I'm hoping that the auditor and the budget director, Toriano, can really work together. But it's, again, sequencing that information. The optics were very difficult. I don't know, I can't say beyond that. So.
Two more questions. What do you make of the game of musical chairs since the beginning of the year? New auditor, new treasurer, two city council people resign. The treasurer became the auditor. The city councilwoman, head of the finance chair, became the treasurer. How does this all look?
Well, I'm hoping that maybe that perhaps they have people that are in those positions now that were certainly in a position to perform their job duties better than the previous, except for, of course, Mr. Parita resigned due to health issues, and that was, those things do happen, but that's pretty much it.
So. Okay, and at this point, the financial issues with the city, nearly $9 million in debt, we all want to get out of this, I think, if you live in the city. Do you feel that the mayor and the administration keep you in the loop with what's going on with the state, the plan? Do you have a good handle of what's going on so you can vote accurately on council?
I've got to get around to more offices, quite frankly. It's been a lot coming onto council this first time by comparison to my previous term about 12 years ago. And so I just think that there are things that are learned along the way that all of a sudden come up in order to get a big general feel for what the situation is. But again, I'm trying to get in there and learn more as I go along here. So,
do you think you've been well informed by the administration?
I don't think there's anything that's been unintentionally necessarily left out. I think I get a general idea on things, but I'm hoping that's not the case. I think it's very hard to have a lot of expertise or a lot of, response as you see things play out and as things are discovered along the way. But I'm tend to be more of a positive person. I'm hoping that, we're all working toward the same goal again with the budget situation. So numbers don't care what political party you're in and so forth. So
final question, what's the best way, in your opinion, the city can turn around their financial position?
Well, again, being clear on the direction, and saying, okay, this is the situation, and we need to move it forward. But I think the state, with that state really looking over us with our situation with that, I felt that that possibly could have been a missed opportunity from the, when they were there the first time in council. Had no confidence vote on the auditor. The state pretty much said, you know, give it some time at that time to get itself worked out, and look what happened. And all of a sudden, we're in this position of, again, having things snowball and to not being able to handle things directly at that time initially. So.
Scott Kreider, Marion City Council at large.
All right, and that interview with Scott Kreider, Marion City Councilman at large, was taped on Monday night after the city council meeting. And yesterday we found out via press release that the city is going to raise the storm sewer utility rate, the ERU, the equivalent residential unit rate, starting in April, from $7.20 to $13.20 a month. And I think that's 83%, an 83% increase starting in April per ERU, equivalent residential unit. So there we go. Phone lines are open now. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So that's where your storm sewer utility rate is going. And who knows where the out-of-city tax break, tax credit, I should say, is going at this point. Scott Kreider says he'll vote no. Aaron Rollins is definitely a no at this point. The other council members, Sean Barr, I think, has said he'll vote yes. Mrs. Larkin has said she'll vote yes. Go ahead, caller.
Good, lovely morning. Tuesday morning to you.
Yes, it's Wednesday. I know, some days I'm like that. It's Wednesday, but it is 1 degree above freezing, 33, so much warmer than yesterday.
You screwed me up because you played the city council interview on Wednesday instead of Tuesday. So see, I mean, that's how structured my life is. I depend on Tuesday mornings to be city council talk, not Wednesday.
You know what's interesting, though? We certainly did not do that on purpose, but yet I think it's more apt hearing that today with the storm sewer rate increase, which came yesterday.
Very interesting what Kreider had to say, that he would not have voted on it because he didn't have enough information. And my goodness, isn't that refreshing?
Well,
I'm used to hearing that.
Well, like I said, people can vote however they want. That's certainly their option and their privilege being on city council. But Monday night, I don't think I'd ever seen a moment quite like that, where everybody was telling you how they were going to vote before they were going to vote and why they were going to do it, because they needed to raise revenues. But yet, when asked how much revenue was going to be raised, none of them knew.
They don't care. But okay.
Well, I don't know if they don't care, but it's...
They don't care. It's some money is better than no money, but then on the flip side, my husband and I were having a discussion about that, because it was a very stark moment, and he said, what's the point of having more readings? They've all already told us how they're going to vote.
Well, that's the point. That's the point. Yeah. And the point also is...
And their minds aren't going to be changed.
Well, the point is this. I mean, there can be flashy moments and arguments, and everybody likes a train wreck. That was not a train wreck, but that, to me, is a significant moment that happened. See, I think that's where you get the real information.
So they're willing to go after any revenue. They don't know what it is. They're willing. And I remember having this conversation too with Twyla Lang about the trash bills. We had this conversation that collecting some money was better than collecting zero money, which I think we can all agree. Now let's flip that around to the income tax that we're owed, the $1 million in income tax that we're owed. And oh no, we don't want to put that into collections because it might cost the people who owe us money. So they don't want to collect on money that's actually owed because there might be a fee associated with it. But let's raise income taxes, and they know that we're owed $1 million. Let's not go after money that we know for sure is owed to us. Instead, let's just throw something at the wall and see how much income tax we can drag in.
Well, you know what bothers me and has continued to bother me, and I am not a resident of the city, and I just preface that to be honest with everybody. But what bothers me watching these council meetings is when people get up, I think Ms. Lubke did on Monday night, and she said, where did this $9 million debt come from?
How looked around?
Well, but no, the answer becomes our books have not been reconciled in six mm-hmm. years, and that's
sure
why.
Sure, they're overspent.
Right, but then they go into this tap dance of several administrations and several
people.
You know
why? Because they really don't know. They honestly don't know.
But here's the thing. The point is in that. If
I don't believe the money was stolen.
No. The money was not stolen.
I want to make that clear, too. Overspent it, and the state has identified where we overspent this money.
Right, but here's what I'm saying. When they get up and say the thing about several administrations and several office holders, they never name anybody. And when they do that,
I thought Monday night, I was like, are they blaming Kellogg? Oh, no, they're talking about Landon.
But the other problem is when they don't name anybody, they are not giving a direct answer. And the point is, yes, the books have not been reconciled. They were not reconciled under Landon. They were not reconciled under Miranda. And as of yet, they have not been reconciled under Vidya. But here's the thing.
Can I make one interjection there? Have you noticed how few meetings the new auditor has been at?
Yeah, I don't know where she is, but here's the thing. She was not at Monday night's meeting. But here's the thing about that. Okay, all of them, those three, did not reconcile the books. Okay, and you know, there should be some blame for that, no doubt about it. But ever since it started, and you can believe what you want, but when Landon did not reconcile the books for the first time, everybody was aware. You can go back and listen to our broadcast. You can go back and look at newspaper articles. Everybody was aware.
We lost our bond rating. We've known this. This is a widely known fact.
Right, but here's the point. Here's the point.
And
right, but the point in this is everybody has known. Everybody knew through the end of Landon. Everybody knew mm-hmm. through Miranda that
they
the books
when they
were
ran
not.
For office.
The books were not right. So, if the books are not right, why do you continue to spend? And nobody ever takes any accountability for that.
Hey, Twyla Lang is on the Marian Star. She got totally owned by Ayers Ratliff. Because she got on there, and I mean, the way she speaks to people, but she got on there. You all are so misinformed. She's going on about how the Collins administration did no overspending whatsoever. All they did was come in and clean up the bills and pay the bills and pay for equipment that was ordered. And she said, before we were elected, she said the Collins administration, and then she referred to we. So she goes back to the Collins administration before the Collins administration even started. Apparently her role on city council was just a short-term placeholder until she could work her way into the administration, because she's talking about we before we, the Collins administration, was ever elected.
Well, all I know is if I owed
But Ayers totally owned her, because she's talking about how the pool should be just all kinds of stuff, and Ayers said, some of the things you're talking about are illegal. Surely you know better than that.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you want to go after Schertzer, which I assume is who they're going after, if you want to go after Landon, if you want to go after Miranda, if you want to go after these people, then you've got to say them. I mean, you know what? People will say, well, you can't go back in the past. Well, people are wanting to know why we owe $9 million. And you know
but
what?
We're talking about some things, though, like equipment that was ordered before Schertzer left. Yes, Schertzer ordered a fire truck before he left. Schertzer also left the money to pay for the fire truck before he left.
Right, but what I want to say is I'm not sure. I have never seen the evidence that Schertzer or Landon or McGinnis is to blame for spending. So when people...
No.
Now they can blame them for non-recognition.
The auditors cannot spend money.
Right.
Auditors
so,
can only write checks. Well, hold up. We've had situations where auditors have spent money and then came to council and told them after the fact but they technically are not supposed to
be. Yes, but that's not $9 million.
No, it's not $8.9 million. It's bills typically that needed to be paid that they didn't get authorization for, and if they didn't pay them, they were going to pay them late. We had one of those not too long ago.
Well, and I also keep hearing about COVID money.
They don't create bills. How's that? Auditors don't create
bills. No, they don't create bills, and I've also heard about COVID money that came in, and I heard Monday night.
And that's where things like our fire truck was purchased from, and those sort of things. One-time purchases.
But council people are referring to that as spending like drunken sailors. Now, did they? I mean, what did we spend that money on?
There was, I know some of it, but that's the thing. That's what, like Glubke was saying. Let's break it down and show us. There was a bunch of money that was dumped into the police department for, to shore up, you know, because the economies were doing so bad, to shore up payrolls and equipment and things like that. And so when that money ran out, those budgets should have came back down. And they should have known those budgets were going to come back down. And instead, they're still trying to run with the same budget. And it's like I was asking, everything I find shows that the 2026 budget is more than the 2025 budget. They're telling me no, 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 no. Okay, then please show me. And I think I was even polite about that. I said, okay, please show me where I'm wrong. Because if I'm wrong, I would rather be wrong about this one. But everything I see shows 2026 is more than 2025. That is not budget cuts.
Well,
if
all I know,
if it was truly cut, it would be less than 2025.
Well, all
they
I know,
will not show us that. Make it easy. Show us. Prove it.
Well, again, all I know is that when they keep and I assume it's McGinnis and Landon who they're blaming, when they keep blaming the auditor's office, they can blame them for not reconciling the books, but they cannot blame them for spending. And
no.
and every both mayors, Schertzer and Collins, and all councils have been absolutely aware that these books were not reconciled.
Mm-hmm.
So why did they continue to spend? I don't think you can
blame
the auditors.
I asked the people that were sitting in council that have been in council, what wasteful spending have you done? They hadn't done any in the past 2 years. There hasn't been. Twyla said that they've done no wasteful spending. As she's having one of her pictures taken with a $1,250 Love Your City sticker behind her.
Well, those are other things that I mean, $10,000 party in the park.
$10,000 office furniture.
$4,700
in wall wraps and just...
Well, does anybody know how much the transit department lost on the Night Moves experiment?
No, they would never tell us.
Okay.
But I know that we spent $3,000 to wrap that bus. I know that we spent $3,000 to license the name Night Moves.
Okay, but tell me this.
At one point in time, for 6 months, Scott, it was being ran totally on overtime.
Okay, but tell me this. What? Because they keep saying this. They keep saying this. And the Marion Star Lady was not here during the Schertzer administration. What did the Schertzer administration spend money on that was like a drunken sailor? Well, what did they do? Because Mayor Collins Mayor Collins criticizes him in almost every interview indirectly by saying when he came, he looked around and everything looked like Groundhog Day around here and nothing was changing.
He disliked Schertzer so bad that he bought a $4,700 sign and renamed Founders Park or Schertzer Park to Founders Park. That's how much he disliked.
But if you're going to
$700 to rename it,
if you're going to get up there in council and say this is many administrations, well, explain that to me because I paid attention to what they did. What where did they overspend?
Right, Schertzer didn't have a $35,000 website.
So I don't know if that's to placate somebody. I'm not exactly sure. If he did overspend, tell us.
Okay, so now you always say that they get up there and they believe what they're saying. Do you believe that they honestly think that they haven't overspent any money?
This council?
Yes.
You know, I do think that they believe that this is a long-term problem, and I think that's why they're trying to lay it on the auditors, but I don't understand that.
I believe it's a long-term problem, but I believe some of that problem has been in the past 2 years when a lot of them have been in office.
Why doesn't somebody go up there and say, where did Schertzer overspend?
I would, but they would just stare at me.
Well, that's an answer. You know, you can't get up here and say that this has been going on a long time for several administrations if you don't have any answers. You're making false statements when you do that. You
hey,
might believe that.
I said down about Miranda on Monday night. Stop saying those things. Did she tell you those things? No, you implied those things. Okay, then stop passing them off as truth.
Well, but
you don't know that they are.
You got to say the same thing about Robert Landon, though. People can criticize him.
We have audits on him, though.
Right, but we can
criticize. We have paper.
Right, but
we have paper on him.
People can criticize him for not reconciling the books, and I think that's a valid criticism. But you can't say that he caused debt in the city.
No, he did not cause debt.
So,
no, yes, he did. Yes, he did. When you pay bills late, and when you
well, there was that
penalties
but
and
that's,
interest.
But that's not where this $9 million is.
No, that's
from.
Not. Well, some of these fines and penalties that we have to the IRS might be sizable.
Yeah, I mean,
$50,000, $100,000. Didn't we just get back? I mean, we just got a $66,000 check back, and that was only some of the abatement for the fine. That wasn't even all of it.
And Miranda would have to own some of that as well. So for that, yes, you can blame them. But I don't know.
No, it's not $8.9 million.
No. So I don't understand why they keep, the mayor particularly, keeps going to the auditor's office and saying that this is where the problem has been. And, yeah, you're right. You have not had reconciled books. And yes, that does make it hard to run a city. But why did you keep adding services and voting yes? What were you basing that on? If you knew that the books were incorrect, why did you keep voting for things?
Scott, this is the same stuff that I've been asking for 2 years, and now it's just finally coming to light. I guess I should say the hens have come home to roost. Is that how that goes?
Well, you know, they're raising a lot of stuff.
But, you know, like, okay, so Monday night, didn't Lubke and I basically just continually ask them, like, sort of, please tell us what you're going to raise, let us know, instead of saying the pieces. And I know Teresa kept asking for, like, a good layout of what's going on, a breakdown. And then there was another woman in the audience talking about, I didn't catch her name, that, we're, you know, people are fearful and we're afraid and we don't know what's going on. And then you and I discussed, are they going to keep piecing and parting out all of these increases so every time we turn around we're getting
well,
hit with something else?
I think
what
it's,
happened?
I think it's very unfortunate that Monday night all the talk was about the out-of-city tax credit that workers get. But
they knew.
Yeah, well, they knew. Well, less than 24 hours later, the press release came out that they were raising the storm sewer utility rate from $7.20 a unit to $13.20.
83%.
And that will happen in April. And, you know, they had to have known Monday night.
They knew that.
Right, but they would not say it. And,
no.
And see, I don't.
Pieces and parts. There's a lot of moving pieces and parts.
Yes.
And I knew this was coming. And I even said, just for people listening, I said in city council, this is going to hit me 10 times. And I'm not opposed to it. Because I understand we have not raised these rates in so long.
But, you know, I'm not sure council did know. I mean, this was clearly an administrative
thing. No, it's an administrative thing. But come on now. Isn't council part of the administration?
I think some council members know what's going on and some don't.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
I don't think Rollins knew this was coming.
No.
Don't think that Kreider knew it was coming.
No.
I don't think Mrs. Larkin knew it was coming.
If she doesn't need it included in the conversation, she'll just vote yes.
I don't think Thad knew about this.
Probably not.
So, I think there are very few who probably knew about it.
Do you think it's strange that Danny Clark's being added to this finance committee?
Well, Rollins said on Monday that that's who he wanted.
For the people that weren't there, and I'll get off here because I'm sure somebody wants to listen to somebody other than me. I think the way Danny Clark speaks to people, I think he needs to take, it's called Mount Vernon Project. It's offered by Dave Yost's office, and it's supposed to be for incoming public officials or just public officials in general. But I've also sat through the training because I thought, hey, what should they know that I need to know too? And really a lot of it is about how to deal with the public and things like that. And I think he needs to learn. I mean, he's been up there less than 2 months, and he's had two situations. Like, he told Ayers Ratliff, basically, okay, sorry, buddy, your life getting ruined was an isolated event, and I wholeheartedly support the police. And then Monday night, he wanted to sort of verbally spar with me, and he said, fine, I just won't talk to you anymore. And I said, that's okay. And he actually spun around in his chair and put his back to me. So these are the kind of people that we have leading us. And, I mean, he's probably in his 60s. He's old enough to be my uncle. I don't know. I'm not saying that to be disrespectful, but he's not in my age group, and he's older than me. And so we have someone who's, well, I know he said he collects Social Security, so we have someone that's old enough to collect a Social Security check saying, fine, I just won't say anything else to you, and flipping their back to a member of the public, and they've been on council for less than 2 months. That's how little they think of us. And he's an at-large representative, so he's technically supposed to be representing me as well.
And headed over to the Finance Committee. There we go. Well, hey, thanks for calling. All right, phone lines are open. We've got about 15 minutes left in this segment. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, you just listen to what people say, and if there are goods on people, you know, just say it. I think that people would like to know the answers to a lot of these questions, as it were. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Oh, yeah. Well, love your storm sewer, right?
I'd like to thank the gentle lady of Silver Street for yielding some time for others to call in.
Yes, go ahead.
You know, it's shocking. Nobody, I don't recall anybody going to council and saying, you know, you're charging us for storm sewers based upon water usage from Aqua. I don't get the connection. How does storm sewage or storm water equate to use of potable water? And yet, we get billed for it.
Got me.
Exactly. So this is something that's incredible. I have a home that I'm trying to sell, and it just dawned on me, why do I have to pay for refuse when it's not being used? I'm not contributing anything to pay. And I called up some time ago, and they said, well, you have to pay it. That's the minimum. Then I called up the other day, and I apparently got somebody that has some common sense. So I got the sanitation waived for a period of time so that all I have to do is pay for the storm sewer and then sewer. But even then, with a home that nobody's living there, why should I have to pay for any of those services? And there are a lot of people, I'm sure, that might possibly be in this situation. But the issue, you say they're going to raise the storm sewer rates up to how much?
$7.20 a unit to $13.20 a unit.
And I wonder what the calculations were on that. How they arrived at that number.
I'm not sure. 83% increase, and it'll take effect in April. We know that.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting somebody to ask them, how did you arrive at that conclusion, and what is this going to generate?
Well,
because all of the storm sewers we've got, if I'm pretty sure I'm probably not correct, but isn't the majority of that taken care of with grant monies or federal dollars? Are there matching dollars or what? Are you aware of any of that?
Well, you mean as far as the maintaining them?
Yeah, the maintaining of them.
Yeah, a lot of that, I think, comes from that.
Replacement and all of that stuff.
Yeah, a lot of that comes from that. I think this is just to raise revenues. I mean, that's all this is. This is an 83% increase in revenues.
But they can't raise it just specifically to cover the debt.
Well, they're saying it hasn't been raised in many years. I think 2017 was the last time it was raised. So they're saying that it was not raised for several years. And if they had gone on a steady rate, it would be like $19 now. So they're only going to raise it to $13.20.
I love the way they justify things. Well, if we'd have gone all along, it would have been up to this, but hey, we're only going to do that. Oh, they're not ready for prime-time politicians. That's where we end up with. Well, to a better tomorrow.
Thank you. And again, the phone lines are open here. We've got about 10 minutes left in this segment, 11 minutes, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It certainly is an interesting conversation to have because this is stuff that impacts the people who live in the city, that's for sure. And again, the news out of the out of City Hall yesterday was that the storm sewer utility rate, the ERU rate, which is the equivalent residential unit, will go from $7.20 to $13.20 a month in April. Now, the out-of-city tax credit, I don't know where that is. We've still got a couple more readings on that before the vote happens on that. But, you know, I'm not sure why stuff happens the way it does. And I'm not sure. I think that's a major problem that, again, we have had the last couple years, is that people during the city council meetings will say they don't know anything, or that they're just working on a plan and they're going to see what happens, and then we find out less than 24 hours later that the storm sewer rates are going up. Well, clearly they had to know this was on the table, or clearly they had to know it was pretty much a done deal on Monday night, because it wasn't even 24 hours before they sent out the press release saying they were raising them. So I don't know why they just don't say that during the meeting. And I think that's where a lot of the criticism comes in regard to how things are run in City Hall right now. And I think this is why there's a big issue that people downtown have with the media. And again, I cannot say that the auditor, any auditor that we have had since 2020, I don't know how you blame them for money being spent. Now, you can certainly say that the books were not reconciled, so you didn't have an accurate idea of how much money we had. But if you don't have an accurate idea of how much money we have, why are you continuing to spend money on things? This becomes the question. And I don't know that we've ever gotten a very good answer on that. Because it seems as if City Council wants to blame a lot of this on the auditors and past administrations and current administrations. Well, you know, who spent the money? Yes, it was an issue that the books were not reconciled, but who spent the money? That's a question here. Coming up on 53 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And last night we did have the State of the Union address. It's the longest one in the history of our country, 1 hour and 48 minutes. Boy, that thing did go on last night. And I did watch it. It was a long one. And did you like it? Did you not like it? 1 hour and 48 minutes. Can you imagine that? For a State of the Union address. It went on and on and on and on. Go ahead, caller.
You need to find a medium and have, I guess, a seance or through that medium to contact Professor Irwin Corey. I think he would be able to explain the finances of Marion.
Well, but if anybody could, he could.
Oh, absolutely.
He was a good guest. I liked the professor.
He was a crazy, wacky, fun guy.
Fun, very smart man, though. Thank you. All right, again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944, with about 7 minutes left in this segment. Yeah, there's some national news, the State of the Union last night. And I was looking at the USA Today this morning, and the headlines in the USA Today were roaring economy and sick Democrats. Takeaways from Trump's State of the Union address. There was a weird atmosphere with that speech last night, with so many Democrats not attending. So the room was not as full as it normally is, and I thought that that gave the whole speech kind of, it made it a little off-kilter, in a way. And President Trump did what President Trump does. Everything's the best, everything's, you know, great. And, you know, I guess if that's your take on things, that everything is the best and everything's great, there you go. But if you don't think it's the best and you don't think it's great, I don't know that a lot of answers were given last night as to why it is the best or why it is great. Go ahead, caller. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Hey, go ahead.
Who am I talking to now?
Scott.
Scott, this is Ivan Stephan. I've been listening to you lately, and I went to council meeting Monday, and I just couldn't hold back anymore, so...
Go ahead, go ahead. Now, former councilman, go ahead.
Yeah, I on that issue about the sewer increase, I don't understand why the council wouldn't know about that. That usually goes to the committee before it's even presented to council.
Yeah, this seemed to be something that came from the administration. I mean, the press release came from the administration.
That's where council should step in and say, you know, you can't do that without us, the committee, looking into it and okaying it and then sending it to council.
Well, you were there on Monday night. You heard what the mayor was saying. You heard what council was saying about the plan, and they could not really say what was going to happen. And to find out less than 24 hours later that this happened, what do you make of what they were saying on Monday night?
I was confused with all of it. You know, I don't envy any of those council people. I mean, they're in a position that even some things it's you don't agree with, but you have to support because it's good for the city. And I don't understand why. And I don't know, because, I mean, I guess they had meetings with the state auditor. Somebody did. I'm sure it was the mayor, maybe the auditor. But you'd think it'd be a couple of finance committee members in on those meetings, too.
Well, when you heard them up there Monday night, and they were saying things like, this is past administration's fault, people were spending like drunken sailors, well, what do you make of that?
I agree with that young lady who was on there a while ago. I mean, they can say anything they want, but if they don't come up with the proof and the facts about it, then they're just blowing steam.
Now, Ivan, what years were you on council?
1983. I took JC's place.
Okay. So back...
I was in there for 11 years.
11 years. So 83 to 94.
Yeah, well... There's 4 years I was out. I ran against Jack Cowlog and got beat. Should have never done that, but I did. I even like Jack.
Yeah, well, Jack's a good guy. And so I guess my point is, for somebody who was there during the Ron Malone era, the Doc Brown era, the Jack Cowlog era as mayor, how do you look back at Ron Malone, Doc Brown, Jack Cowlog, as it compares to what you see today with Mayor Collins?
Well, we was more transparent back then. Even the mayor didn't. If the mayor come with something to go to buy or pay for to the city, most generally it went to council, to whatever committee that referred to. I mean, they just didn't, blindsided the council. It usually went into committee. Committee looked at it, and then if they supported it, it might have got tabled in committee, but then go back, you know. But most generally, 90% of the stuff during Ron Malone's administration went, even Jack Cowlog's went through committees. That's what the committees are for. The council is one of the check and balances. If you don't go to council, you lose the check and balance because they're in the blind. It's just like now they're in the blind. I feel sorry. I don't know why, but I don't know whether it's because they're not educated enough on how it works, or they just being blindfolded from the administration, the council itself. They didn't seem to know anything. How can you ask people, and I agree with a, to get back with the rebates on the out-of-town people that work out-of-town. I agree in one sense that they should pay something, but I don't agree with the 100%. But you would think that they would go and survey Canvas, the different businesses in the city of Marion, the tax department. Maybe they already have that information, I don't know, and find out how many businesses has employees that live out, work out of town, and should be paying city taxes as far as that goes, and vice versa, who live out of town and come to the city.
Well,
and come up with them numbers. I mean, and then that generates how much money.
Well,
and
I think that was one of the frightening moments that we've talked about from Monday night, is that Mrs. Larkin told you how she was going to vote, Sean Barr told you how he was going to vote, Thad Smith told you how he was going to vote on this, and Ralph Smith, I think, did as well, but yet, when you ask them how much revenue this is going to create, none of them could answer that.
They're not getting the information that they need.
So how do you make, you were a former councilman, how does a councilman make their decision on how they're going to vote on something if they don't know what the information is?
You go to committee and make the administration bring the information to you in committee. And then you sit in committee and the information is fed to the committee right there in front of, and that's an open meeting, you know. A constituent comes in, and that's where a lot of people can stand up and ask questions. That's where you get your information. And then the committee itself usually takes a vote. There's usually three members of that committee up from council, like finance committee. And
well,
they send that to council, whether a yay or nay.
It's an interesting Well, Ivan, we have to go to break here, but I'm glad to have you out there listening, and I'm glad you're listening, and I'm glad you called in this morning, and please feel free to call in any time, because I think hearing from you and hearing all the takes, what people have to say, is important for the people listening out there.
All right. Thanks, Spear, for the compliment.
Hey, thank you, Ivan.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. All right. Ivan Stitham, former Marion City Councilman. Glad to have him out there in the audience. We'll be back right after this.
800-221-222. Poison can be anything you're not supposed to take. Antifreeze, pesticide.